It's not working.
It's not your fault. No worries. You wanna hear another fact? Have you ever heard in America they're building their houses with wood? Yes, wood.
Wait.
Yes, this. You can just punch through the wall, and then because it's wood or paper, you can punch through the wall. So the isolation is also very bad in America. But it's true, right? Isn't it? But it's like in
plaster. I mean, it's wood framing. Yeah. You just have like a thin layer of plaster on the inside to create walls.
But yeah, but I could, like, at least a friend of mine showed me a video where it could like really punch through the wall easily. But it's also like because of the climate.
All right.
I could drop another.
Let's do that after the service then. All right. So today's topic, God's plan for Aletheia in 2025. As you know, we're doing a short series in the transition of the year, probably throughout this month. And during this time, our format will change a little bit. We'll have shorter sermons, and then we have a reflection time, and then a sharing time and prayer time in the end. Last week, we talked about New Year's resolutions. Many people commit to, at the beginning of the year, they say something like, this year is going to be better, I'm going to work better, I'm going to study more, I'm going to go to church more often, or whatever, and then it just fades. And many people try to commit to resolutions, but they can't keep it up. Thankfully, Psalm 127 and Jesus in John 5, they gave us the answer. Instead of us trying to achieve anything in our own strength, in our own mind, in our own, according to our own will, what we have to do is we have to seek God's will. We have to hear what God wants us to do, what God wants us to commit to, whether it's for the year or for the school year or in life or whatever. And then when we hear what God wants to do in our lives, then of course He will give us the strength, He will give us the discipline, He will give us the wisdom, whatever we need to actually do it. So instead of just committing to something that we think is good for us, what we need to do is hearing from God first, hearing His will, and then praying according to God's will and acting according to His will. And those are the kind of New Year's resolutions, or it doesn't have to be New Year, the kind of commitments that we will be able to keep up and that we will be able to really make a change in our lives, not like what most people are trying, committing to being a better person in our own strength. Today's focus, God's plan for Aletheia, for this church in 25. And it's a conclusion, or it's an application of what we talked about last week. Couple of comments before we get into the topic. First, like I just said, it's a continuation. We are really seeking God for His will for this church in this year. So what we want to do today is, in our soaking time and in our sharing time, really hearing from God, what do you want to achieve in this church this year? What is your will? What do you want us to keep doing? What do you want us to stop doing? What do you want us to start doing? What is God's will for this church in this coming 12 months? So that's the first comment. The second comment, there won't be that much Bible verses this week. And if you just take this sermon out of context, you might feel like, okay, this is human wisdom. Where is God in all of this? And you are right. Today's sermon, we really have to see today's sermon as a continuation of last week. Last week, we laid the biblical foundations. Last week, we looked at the principles of how we should seek God's will and why we should seek God's will and all these things. And today, we will apply that specifically to this church. So please don't come to me afterwards and say, like, yeah, where was God in all of this? Where were the Bible biblical principles in all of this? That was from last week. And so it's basically one sermon over two Sundays. All right, so since many of us are new or relatively new, I want to talk a little bit about our church and how we came to this point. Over the last around 18 months, we had a near total turnover of the congregation. Some people moved out of Munich. Some people chose to join other churches. Some people left the church altogether and are not attending any church right now. And so we have hardly anybody left who was with us a year ago or 2 years ago. And of course, for us as church leadership, we were like, what on earth is going on, God? Why are you doing all this? And why are all these people leaving? And we kind of expected something else, and we expected to have a core group of people and kind of build on all of that, and then suddenly nearly everybody left. And it left us a little bit confused. And then we felt that God was really telling us, this church is entering a new season. There were people back then who were part of us, some of them for many years, and then they chose to leave, or some of us chose to leave, and some of them moved away, as I said. But there were people that we needed to build this church to get to this point. Think about the legal registration and all those things that needed to be done. Getting the services established, moving into this place and getting this place set up and all these things. They were people who really helped us a lot getting to this point. And they were people who really invested a lot in this church and laid a great foundation for this church. And so we felt God was telling us that season was that. And that season is over. And now this church is entering a new season. And that's where he's giving us a new congregation, basically. We have the foundation that was built by the old generation, and now it's time for a new season. Now it's time for a new start, and now it's time to build on that foundation. And that's why God turned over this congregation nearly completely. From my perspective, I can say I can see a great potential in this group that we are having now. Many people feel really called to this church. Many people that we have now feel very passionate about this church and about helping this church. And many people that we are having now really feel like they want to contribute something to this church. They don't want to just attend, as unfortunately in many churches, most people just want to attend and let others do the work. But we don't see that in this church. And that's a wonderful thing. What we see in this church is people who want to contribute, people who want to commit, people who want to make this church work. And that is a wonderful potential that we see. And so we really feel that God now brought us together as a new congregation, in a sense, so that we work together and now take this church into a new season. And we can see, when you look at some biblical stories, when I see of other churches, how they started, it often started with a group like this. Not a very big group, maybe. Not the most educated people. I mean, church educated people. Nothing about your job or anything. What I'm talking about is not people who are necessarily trained or have a seminary degree or something like that. But people who are just passionate about the church, people who just want to help and support the church, who want to invest in the church. And that's exactly what we see here right now. And so this is something that we really felt God was speaking to us, and especially this last year when then more and more people left of the old people, where we really felt God was saying, this is what I'm doing and this is what's happening right now. A little bit more to our history. From the very beginning, God put three main areas in our hearts that we believe he wants us to focus on. The first one is, I believe God wants us to reach as many people as possible. That's outreach. Reaching lost people. Reaching people who are not Christians right now and giving them a chance to hear the good news as well. So this is one main area that we felt called to from the very beginning. The second area was teaching. Teaching those who are willing to listen. Not everybody that we are trying to reach will say, yeah, I'll come, or yes, I want to hear more. Many of those people that we invite or that we say, hey, do you want to come to church? They will say, no, thank you. And that's their choice. We cannot override that. Everybody has the freedom to choose. But there will be people who will say, yeah, tell me more. I'm interested. I want to hear more about Jesus. I want to know more about your church, all kinds of things. And then we teach them and we share the gospel with them. Teach those who are willing to listen. In a place like Germany, there are so many people who think that they are Christians, but actually they are not. If you ask them, are you a Christian? They will say, yeah. And what they mean is, I'm a member of a church or something like that legally. Or what they mean is, I got baptized as a baby. Or, well, of course, because I grew up in a Christian family or whatever. So they think they are Christians, but actually they are not. If you compare them to Jesus' standards, if you compare them to what the Bible says. And from the very beginning, we felt called to address this issue by putting a strong focus on teaching and sharing what the Bible truly says. And then the third area that we felt called to was building Christ-centered community. A focus on community, but not the kind of social club. Not the kind of group of people that just loves hanging out, and by the way, 5 minutes a week we also talk about Jesus or something like that. No, not that kind of community. But a community that truly says, we build our community around the person of Jesus Christ. He is the center of everything that we do. And he is the reason why we are a community. There are many communities out there. If people want social clubs, if people want to hang out, if people want to do parties and all kinds of things, we don't want to be a church like that who tries to attract people by kind of competing with the world's way. From the very beginning, we said, Christ is the center. Of course, we can still have fun together. We can still watch movies together or go bowling together and these kind of things. But the center and the reason why we build community is Jesus Christ. He is a person, his commandments, his principles, prayer together, being part of each other's lives, all centered around the person of Jesus. So those are three areas that we felt called to from the very beginning. Let's talk about these three a little bit more closely. First, reaching people. Matthew 28, famous, the Great Commission. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when we look through the book of Acts, the church always grew in numbers. There was no such thing as a church that was like, okay, we are happy with each other, and we are 10 people, 50 people, 100 people, size doesn't matter, but we are kind of happy, and we are kind of a close community. There was no church like that. Every church in the New Testament was always doing outreach, was always growing, was always reaching people, and was always seeking non-Christians and telling them about the good news of Jesus as well. Again, a bit of our history. To be honest, we have been talking for many years about growing this church. Now looking back, yeah, in the beginning we were not ready. We were kind of jumping the gun a little bit. And as we tried to do outreach, all kinds of internal problems kind of came on us. And we realized, well, we need to deal with those problems first. But we worked on things. But still, the growth in numbers hasn't really happened yet. There's a constant tension in us. On the one hand, we feel the need to do outreach. We have this promise from God that this church will grow. Again, over the last few months, I got several prophetic words from different people that confirmed that God is sending us people, and it's time to get ready for that. And then we have the feeling of, when does it happen? And we kind of get disillusioned. For years, we've been waiting for this day, and we've always coming here on Sundays. Where are the new people? Today, new people are coming. And then we leave and like, no, they didn't come. And sometimes it's really maddening to me. Sometimes it's frustrating to me because we've been waiting for so long. But at the same time, God is also speaking to us. And he has been reminding us many times, especially when I was very discouraged. And then he just gave me another prophetic word or another way of speaking through circumstances or whatever, that I'm like, okay, it's still happening. The promise is still there. God didn't give up on us. He didn't give up on this church. We just have to wait a little bit longer. So when we look at this church and the year 2025, one of the questions that I want us all to meditate on is this the year that God wants us to pursue outreach again? Is this the year where God is telling us, now it's time to go out. Now it's time to be proactive about it. Not only doing what we've been doing so far, but really starting outreach in a more proactive way and really reaching people in, I don't know how, right now. That's why we want to ask God. Does he want us to do the kind of street evangelism? Does he want us to set up events to reach non-Christians? Does he want us to just do social media and these kind of things more proactively? What is God's plan this year? Again, we don't want to just do outreach for the sake of outreach in our own wisdom, but we want to hear, God, what is your plan? Is this the time? What do you want us to do? And then we will do that. So that's the first area, outreach. Second area, teaching. Same verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Clearly, when we look at the Bible, teaching is a very essential aspect. Teaching is something that has to be at the center. No, maybe not at the center, but it has to be one of the foundations, one of the pillars in every church, where we say, in our church, there has to be teaching. There has to be admonishing. There has to be some form of teaching regularly, listening to sermons, small group, whatever. There has to be teaching. Now, clearly, Jesus expects all of us to be teachers in the verse of Colossians 3. That doesn't mean that everybody has to give a sermon all the time and that we have to rotate through and everybody has to preach once a month or something like that. That's not what it means. But what it does mean is we all have to teach. We all have to teach one another as part of the community. Now, I believe this seems to be one of our strengths. Many people who know this church say that the teaching here is strong. But just because it's one of our strengths right now doesn't mean that we just leave things the way they are and don't bother about it. Maybe God wants us to make some changes. Maybe God wants some of us to step up. And maybe God is speaking to some of us and saying, hey, I want you to teach, maybe in the small group. I want you to teach, maybe you're giving a Sunday sermon. Maybe God is saying to some of us, hey, I want you to teach one-on-one. I want you to disciple someone else and teach that way. Or maybe just be a good friend to each other, read the Bible together, and teach each other by sharing with each other what you learned about Bible passages and all kinds of things. So my question is, and not my question, but the question that we should ask God is, does God want us to change anything in the area of teaching? Does he want us to change something on Sunday? Does he want us to change something throughout the week? Does God want us to start a new ministry or something like that that focuses on teaching? Does God want us to change anything, add anything in the area of teaching? And if yes, of course, what's our part to contribute to that? And then the third area that God put on our hearts, community. And as we call it here, Christ-centered community. Acts 2. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat the food with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. The example of the book of Acts and the New Testament has always been the same. The church was a community. That community was visible. That community was attractive to other people. And other people got drawn into the community because they saw the benefits of the community. They saw the community and they were like, whoa, they are so loving. They are so caring for each other. They have something that I don't have or I don't get when I go to the bar or that I don't get when I go to a football game or something like that. That community is different. And because they saw that this community was different, they were drawn to the community as well. And that community grew in numbers. So what I'm trying to say is, community is related to outreach. One of the strongest tools we have in effective outreach is to have a good community that people are attracted to. John 13, Jesus said, "And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." A strong community leads to outreach. Love for one another within the community will be visible and will be attractive to people, and people will say, "I want in. I don't know anything about Jesus right now. I don't know why you're such a different community. I can't figure it out. But one thing I know, you guys love each other. And I don't get that anywhere else. I want in. I want to be a part of that kind of community." This is how I came to Christ. When I was in Shanghai, I was a total stranger to people. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. And they welcomed me into the community. They loved me. They helped me practically finding an apartment and all kinds of things. And they were just so loving, like no one else in my whole life before that ever was. And that's when I was like, there's something to this Jesus guy I didn't know. Because you are different, and you are loving, and you're loving me in a way I've never been loved before. Tell me more about this Jesus. This is how Christian community is supposed to work. But like I said, not just community, not just having fun together, not just spending time together, but to put Jesus at the center of our community. That he is the reason, he is the purpose for us getting together as one community. I have to admit, we put this on paper at the beginning of the church, but we didn't really live it out. And we didn't really put the focus on it. We knew that God was calling us to it, but we didn't really know how, and we didn't really understand how we are supposed to go about it. And in the beginning, in the early years of this church, there was a lot of tension and there were some complaints and all kinds of things. And yes, I have to admit, we were kind of hypocrites. Saying one thing on paper and saying, yeah, this is one of our focuses, but not really living it out. But over the years and over time, we have dealt with some of these problems and we're putting a much greater focus now on really building community according to what the Bible says. Now, I know one problem that we all have. We are all busy. We have busy jobs, demanding jobs. Many of us have family with small children. Many of us have both. many of us have other obligations outside that are also important that we can't just let go of. And I know that it's not bringing glory to God if we just spend all our time together here and then we lose our jobs or get fired or whatever because we're not kind of fulfilling our responsibility any longer. So I'm not saying that we should go with the book of Acts way and just kind of all sell our, put all our money in one pot and we all live in this place. I'm not going that far. But what I am saying is we can do better. And I think we can strengthen our community. We can strengthen our relationships. And we can strengthen our involvement in each other's lives. Our prayers for each other. Our care for each other. Our living together. Not necessarily in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. Not just coming here on Sundays and talking to each other and then kind of see you next Sunday. But really being part of each other's lives from Monday to Saturday as well. So the question is, how does God want us to grow our community this year? Not just in numbers, that's the topic of outreach, but also, what does God want us to do to deepen our relationships? What does God want us to do to stay, to be more connected to each other, Monday to Saturday? What does God want us to do? How can we honor him with our relationships and with our friendships to each other? How does God want us to be part of each other's lives? How does God want us to pray for each other? How does God want us to support each other? What does God want to achieve in our community? Not just outreach, that's a separate point, but also just looking at us and whoever will be part of our community. What does God want us to do in 2025 to strengthen our relationships with each other? Like I said earlier, we see this congregation and all of us who are here today, we see you as partners. We see everyone here as, let's build this church together. Not just me and my family doing everything and people then just coming and be like, okay, great, I have a church, I'm a part of a community, see you next Sunday. But being partners, everyone doing his or her part. So the question that we want to soak on today and that we want to ask God today, A, what is God's plan for this church this year? What does God want us to do? But then, of course, the follow-up question is, when we hear what he wants us to do, what is my role in all of this? We don't want to be the kind of church where everyone says, like, okay, God told me to start this ministry, but I'm not getting involved in it. I don't have time for this. I don't want to be part of this. So the follow-up question to what does God want to do in this church is then, of course, what does God want me to contribute to what he has been speaking to us? What is my role? What is my responsibility? And what does he want me to do so that we as a church together achieve this goal? So what is God saying to us concerning reaching? Reaching people. What is God saying to us concerning teaching? Does God want us to make changes in this area? What is God saying to us in the area of community? Building community, strengthening our relationships with each other. That's the first question. What does God want us to do this year? And then, of course, our personal contributions. What does God want me to contribute to this, to the things that he wants to see in this church? And that's also where we bring it back to the announcements earlier. Maybe God is speaking to some of us of those roles that Don left open. Is God telling some of us to step up, maybe take some of those roles, and what is God's plan? So we're going to spend some time soaking, we're going to spend some time hearing from God, and then we're going to share with each other. And I believe if we all hear from God, then we will see how he will confirm what he's saying to one person through other people as well. And this is how we will know what God's will is. So, Father, Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for, first of all, we want to thank you for sustaining this church for all these years. Been through so many ups and downs, through so many challenges, through so many successes, and also through so many seasons where things didn't look good. But you have sustained us, you have been faithful to us, and we are here today because of your faithfulness, and because of your grace, and because of your goodness, that even in all those mistakes and all the things that didn't go well and that where we failed, you always had mercy on us so that we can still be here today and we can still meet today. And you've brought us a new generation, you brought us a new group of people, and here we are today, Lord, saying, what is your will? What do you plan to achieve in this church this year? What do you want to do in this church this year? What do you want us to invest in this year? Jesus, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you want to say to us. And then give us the faith and give us the courage to act on it. So Holy Spirit, please speak to us as we seek you. Use this time for your glory. Yeah, thinking of Samuel right now, when he said, speak, Lord, I'm listening. This is our prayer right now. Speak, we are listening. In Jesus' name.